Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. My name is Melitza and I'm your host. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours that we have. You have young children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 58. Hey, thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room with the squidgy paint in the bags over here. Last podcast, I interviewed educator Mara Kaplan about accessible playgrounds. So if you missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find an archive of all the other shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is an interview with Becky Goddard Hill, author, mother, and popular blogger at babybudgeting.co.uk, all about spring play activities. To learn more about the Raising Playful Tots Index, you can now subscribe to the new YouTube channel, Raising Playful Tots. Or to carry on the conversation, you can meet me on Twitter or Facebook. I love to hear about your experiences with your tots, so you can also drop me a line at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. I'll be right back after this short break.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Today I'm talking to Becky Goddard Hill, author, writer, and mum of two, who has survived a six-year career break on a very limited budget. She's the author of How to Afford Time Off with Your Baby and a new series of books for busy parents. We're looking at the third book in the series today. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
You've been busy working a new book. Can you tell us what it is and why you've chosen this one for your series?
Okay, well, my recent book is called Spring on a Budget. It contains 50 ideas for fun things you can do this spring with your under five. It's, like you say, the third in the series. The first was autumn. Then we had winter. And now we're into spring, and summer will be coming soon. But basically, it's just bringing together lots of great play ideas for people that cost very little, if anything at all, for things they can do with their little ones during the season.
It sounds great. I was lucky enough for you to send me a book of this earlier, so I've had a chance to have a look, and it's great. I really love looking at those, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Let's look at budgeting. It's something that I think all of us are feeling right now, you know, having to tighten our belts. Can you share some example activities that would appeal to us as budget-conscious parents?
Well, absolutely. As you say, budgeting is impacting everybody now. Everything you do costs more, and people's income is less than probably it's been for a long time. So we really need to use what we have already and what's around us, rather than going out and spending money on play centres or expensive sports activities for children. We need to really re-engage with craft possibilities at home, nature, friendships and imaginative play. A lovely thing you can do in spring, which is just wonderful, is to observe frog spawn. Frog spawn developing into frogs is one of the absolute wonders of nature. It's illegal to collect it and bring it home, which I know people do, but they really mustn't. But if you just ask around, or you've got a little canal near you or a little lake, you'll be able to find some frog spawn in the next couple of weeks and take your child to see it. And they will see over a period of a few weeks the jelly become tadpoles and the tadpoles become frogs. And it's an absolute delight of creation and they will adore it. And it will involve walking and talking and really spending great time with your child and no cost whatsoever.
Oh, that's perfect. I never thought of doing something like that, you know, having frog spawn that you would actually go and, you know, each day kind of visit and see how it's coming along. But that sounds like a really nice activity to do, especially with toddlers, because their eyes are just full of wonder, aren't
absolutely.
They? They're just looking
absolutely.
Around and seeing things for the first time. My little guy today hadn't seen a ladybird before. Well, I thought he had, but he hadn't. And it was just walking on the ground. And you know how they do it? They just kind of stick their bottom in the air and bend down and look over.
Oh, how lovely.
And, like, his hands were, like, as far away as possible. He was so curious
to
what was going on. And I was thinking, what is he doing? He looked like he was about to kiss his shoes.
Oh.
You know, he had a funny pose. And he was watching this little ladybird just amble across the road.
That's just so special, isn't it? To be there and witness that is just so special.
So let's look at your ebook. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us what we would expect to see?
Well, in the ebook, I split it into sections really, so people can just dip in and out. So there's a section on craft, loads of crafts in spring. My goodness, just tons of flowers you can make, spring weather charts, very simple things really. Loads of fun for kids, you know, seed pictures, all sorts of things they can do. There's a section on books about spring and gives people ideas of books they can get from their library and pre-order, you know, and make sure that they get what they need. They don't have to go and buy books. And it gives them some ideas, books, the songs included, rainbow songs and some lovely poems. There's also sections on festivals. Spring is completely just jam-packed, really, with festivals. All the Saints' Days seem to come in spring, and of course there's wonderful May Day with maypoles and fabulous flowers you can put in a basket and secretly hang on your neighbour's door. There's other festivals like Passover that I look at too, and craft ideas and play ideas for there. And there's a little look at outdoor activities you can do with your children during spring too. So lots and lots packed into the book that cover a wide variety of interests your little one might have.
And how did you research these activities? Are they ones that you have done yourself?
Some of them are ones we've done ourselves. Most of them are. For example, one of the ideas is mural making. As a family, every season we make a huge picture that pretty much covers half of one of our kitchen walls that the whole family make over a period of weeks, really. Even Dad gets involved and makes a little thing to go on it. So our spring picture, the one I show in the book, has got a big rainbow and sunshine and rain and ducks on a pond, all made from collage and little bits, and we have great fun doing that. So that's one of our family ideas that I've shared in the ebook. But other ideas come from friends, from play groups I've been involved with, from my daughter's preschool she goes to. I've looked at books. I've researched books through Amazon that are relevant to spring and to certain festivals. And it's just bringing all those ideas together. I'm a blogger and I read quite a lot of other craft blogs and they share wonderful ideas too. People are very generous about sharing their ideas I've found in parenting blogging, and that's wonderful because it just sparks off ideas yourself.
Today I'm talking to Becky Goddard-Hill. Becky writes the popular parenting blog Baby Budgeting. She's a prolific reader and reviewer of childcare and parenting books. Tell us a little bit about how you got started writing about budgeting and your family.
When my little boy was born, he weighed only 3 pounds and he was in intensive care for a couple of months. And they told me I must keep him out of nursery for the first year of his life because he was so vulnerable. Well, I had the best first year of just a lovely, wonderful time with him and decided I didn't want to return to work. My work gave me a 6-year career break. I'm a social worker teaching child development to social carers. So they gave me 6 years off with my baby, which was amazing. But I was the main breadwinner, so we absolutely had our budget just change dramatically. And we had to find a new way to live, and we had to really, really cut down on everything and go really right back to basics and be very creative about how we lived within our means. After a couple of years of doing this, my husband had the idea that it would be really good to share what we'd learned, because we learned a lot through experience and hindsight, and if we'd known it in the first place, it would have been invaluable. So I had a go at writing it down, and it came very easily because I was writing about what I knew. And he actually encouraged me to try and send this off to agents. And after 40 attempts, I got myself an agent who got me a publishing deal. And the book's been really well received. Lots of people want support with budgeting when they have a little one. So, yeah, that's how the writing came about, really. We're just wanting to share what we'd learned.
Well, that's brilliant. Well, an amazing story how it turned out so well.
Yes, absolutely. And then my blog about baby budgeting resulted from the book, really, to promote it and to share a few more ideas. And the blog's been really well received. At the moment, it's the 6th highest ranked parenting blog in the UK. And I have 4,000 Twitter followers. People really want to know about budgeting. And what's fabulous is everyone shares their tips with me too. So I'm learning all the time. It's great. It's a real community.
Let's look at spring weather. And spring weather is notoriously varied. I mean, look at today. Where I am, it was absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
You know, we were out with short sleeves and we played outdoors for most of the day. It's great. I didn't get any housework done.
They're the best days.
Yes. But just a few days ago, we had thick fog and it was an icy morning. And I was thinking, I thought it was supposed to be spring.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, what are some of your favorite activities? You shared a little bit about the frog spawn earlier. What's some of your favorite activities about spring?
Well, spring, just the blossom of spring is something I absolutely adore. And emerging flowers, I just think that's beautiful to sort of see the world wake up again, you know. One of the craft ideas in the book is to take a stick, find a stick somewhere, and they're all out and about and around, and get lots of little bits of tissue paper and stick them all over the stick and make some everlasting blossom to bring indoors. That's lovely. Kids have lots of fun scrunching and gluing, and it just looks beautiful, really beautiful. So lots of craft ideas that you can do indoors and lots of exploring outdoors, really, so you can move along with the weather. And another activity that I really, really like to do with my children is to make miniature garden. I think it's such a great thing to do. We used to do this when I was a little girl at Brownie Guides. And we'd get a little tray or a baking dish and make it into a garden. And we'd go outside and gather in little pebbles and little bits of grass. And then when the weather starts to turn, nip inside and lay it out in a tray and make a little garden indoors too.
And that takes a little time because, you know, by the time they realize what they can do with it, they start rearranging it and they're like, you know, excavating and changing things around and saying, like, I want it a bit higher.
Absolutely.
And, oh, it's fun because you think that it's going to be 5 or 10 minutes or they think that. And all of a sudden, a whole afternoon has gone by and they're sculpting and changing.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. My daughter will put her little people and her little fairies into the garden and move them around and create little imaginary worlds and her own stories in it too after it was done. So wonderful. I thought we'd be thrown away at the end of the day, but no, it lasted a good week's worth of play.
Yes, and thank goodness for digital cameras because now at least we can take pictures and keep them of it. And, I know certainly my boys have really enjoyed finding other things inside of the house to add to their miniature gardens. You know, I've thought, you know, that looks really good. And then you see them, you know, 10 minutes later running off one moment and they go and find something at the bottom of a toy box that they know is just perfect to add to it. And I'm thinking, I didn't even know we had that.
And absolutely. And what's
just
great with that is they're using their imagination and their creativity, which is great if you provide the starting point, but they can kind of get a spark from that and then make more of it. That's wonderful, isn't it?
It is. It is fun. And I was looking at some of the activities that you had and I was just smiling at Mr. Grasshead.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought, you know, that's just perfect for the boys to have a go at doing that. They would just love to do that. And, you know, they're into crafts as well. And so, you know, doing that paper daffodil would be really interesting, getting them to fold that and make it look like a real daffodil.
Brilliant. That's great. I think it's low when boys are encouraged to do crafts because very often my son's at primary school now and very much in the classroom. It's the girls, because they've got the more developed fine motor skills, that seem to really be leading the way with the craft. The boys have started to get a bit self-conscious about being a bit more clumsy and are pulling away from the drawing and the craft. And I have to really encourage my son to be involved now. And he'll often say, well, I'm not very good. He tried to draw a car the other day, and because it didn't look like the car, he got quite anxious and stressed about it. And so we need to keep it very much part of his life, very much fun and easy and fluid, so he doesn't shy away from it and lose that spontaneity that he had when he was a bit younger.
It can be troublesome to be able to do it, and you just have to kind of let them go with it, I think. For me, that's the only way it's kind of worked for me. What about the age groups? What would you say your ebook is aimed at?
I gear it essentially towards under five, but that's my son's nearly seven now, and he's done almost everything in this ebook and thoroughly enjoyed all of it. You just alter it for your child. I know my daughter really loves poetry. She loves things to rhyme. There's perhaps other children who wouldn't necessarily concentrate that much on the words, you know, or perhaps not be quite ready for that. And some children are more practical, more physical, and you sort of go with your child, really.
Yeah, they're open-ended, and that's what's really good, is that, you know, you can go at them in series. So this year they might do the Mr. Grasshead and you would help them a lot with it, but next time, and you know, you can adapt that and it'll be a more independent activity and they can take it to a different level. Maybe you'll make a family of grassheads, and the paper daffodil will be a little different next time as well. And I think that that's what's great about the activities that you have in your book. They're not just single use activities that, you know, are only good one time. You can reuse them, and if you have a gaggle of kids like we do, you can do one type of activity and it can be tailored for, you know, all the different ages that you have in that one sitting that's, you know, with you, or even a play date. If you have a play date over and you're thinking, what should I do? You could get one of these activities out and have a go pretty quickly.
Absolutely. We've got some lovely ideas, April Fool's Day, courtesy of my son. And some of them are really simple. And even if the youngest child will get a laugh of putting a plastic dinosaur in their daddy's cereal bowl, even the very youngest child, but balancing a cushion on top of the door so when daddy opens it, it falls on his head, is something my older child would do. Whereas for my daughter to hide and spring out and say boo when her daddy comes in the room is something she can do. So it does span sort of variety of abilities and levels of comprehension, but hopefully will be fun for all children to be involved with.
No, I'm so glad that you could come on the show today, Becky, to talk about your new ebook. It's called Spring on a Budget. Where can we find the ebook so that we can buy it?
You come to my website, babybudgeting.co.uk. It's there in the sidebar. You just click through, and it costs only £1.50 for 50 ideas.
That's brilliant. For more information about what Becky has talked about and to buy her ebook, if you missed it, that's babybudgeting.co.uk. And because it's an ebook, you just can purchase it and download it straight away to your computer, so it doesn't matter where you live in the world, you can get this fabulous ebook. Have you got the other winter and autumn ebooks available still?
They are still available, yes, and I will make sure that a link's up to buy them in the sidebar.
Oh, brilliant, because that would be great for our friends in the Southern Hemisphere where their seasons are slightly different to ours. So they'll be able to get the books that work for them.
Brilliant.
I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Brian Clark Howard, web editor with The Daily Green and co-author of several books on green living. And you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
It was fun hearing all those spring activities from Becky.
And soon her summer ebook will be coming out too. It's been a busy couple of weeks. And with the children in and out of school, none of us know what day it is. We've lost a whole bunch of Mondays, just like that. I just watched Soft Thistle's most recent vlog where she talked about how the kids were in and out of school too. Thank goodness for our whiteboard calendar. Otherwise, I'm sure I would be the mum trying to drop off kids to an empty school. I thought I'd give you an update on what's going on. So, no weekly find this week. The weather has been terrific though. And the boys have spent long, long afternoons just playing outside. Yes, playing outside. You'll remember at the beginning of these podcasts, I talked to Carrie Svenneby of Active Kids Club. That would be show number 17, about outdoor playgroups. And also, I talked to Caro Webster, that's show number 7, about her book Small Fry Outdoors. In a bid to get my boys to play outside, both of them told me the day would come, and it has, yay, that I couldn't get them inside. They ate outside, they made tents from chairs, they planted seeds, and they watched as some insect ate their sunflower leaves all the way down. We made homemade bubbles, and in moments, we saw it all drain away, and one very wet, shocked brother. They took their action figures and their pretend play food and had parties and food fights. Now, apart from the burst of bickering that you get with young children, they had great weather and they made up some really interesting games. It was a really nice time. I'm excited also that I've finished writing the third ebook. I've not looked at it for about a month now, so it's time to look at it again. Fresh eyes and all of that. You know, although I'm tempted to edit it myself. I'm not going to. I know you should always have a second pair of eyes to read it over. If you want to be in the know about when this preschool ebook is finished, all about play, then don't forget to sign up to my newsletter. And you can sign up at the site. That's raisingplayfultots.com, and it's there on the right-hand side sidebar. There's a big box there you can see, and you can put your name and your email address. I also have a free report about extending play, and those that are on the list will hear first about the ebook. So now it's just in the fixing up stage, you know, trying to make the ebook look nice and edit it and finish it so it really looks like a book. It's also that time again, you know, for the quarterly look at the top 100 playful blogs in the Raising Playful Tots Index. We're busy, busy, busy behind the scenes, crunching numbers and visiting each and every blog. I've added a new component that I'll share with you once the list is completed. It's just been a really busy couple of months here with just one thing or another. So this is why this podcast is out a little later this week than usual. It's also been a little while since I've had some feedback about your play. What are you getting up to with your playful tot? I did get a lovely message from Erin from Massachusetts this week. She blogs at the Finer Niners blog. I'm sorry, Erin. at blogspot.com, saying love, love, love your shows, and just finished listening to this one. And she was talking about the sensory play one last week because she was entering the competition while I was cooking dinner and my husband was playing with the boys downstairs. Hi, Erin, and I'm sorry for butchering your title of your blog. Thank you for tuning in and saying such nice things. I bet there was a lot of laughing and carrying on going down the stairs. You know, it's times like that that I wish I could bottle that feeling and liberally sprinkle it, let's just say, on other days. If, like Erin, you have a comment or you wish to make a suggestion or links that you want to share, then you can email me at melitza@raisingplayfultots.com. That's MELITSA. For more information about the Raising Playful Tots Index, to sign up for the weekly newsletter, or you just fancy having a good look around at the resources that we have on the website, just pop on over. There's always something new. I just wanted to have a quick shout out to my friend and co-founder of the Raising Playful Tots Index, Nicole of PlanningWithKids.com. I'm so excited for her as her book has published. Yay! She had a book launch and nibbles and, oh, they looked fab. Fab, fab, fab. You really have to go over and have a squiz at her site and look at the book. Hopefully the book will be published outside of Australia soon. Anyway, congratulations, Nicole. Well done. I know you've been working really hard on that. And thanks to Christy of Childhood 101 for stepping up. I was interviewed on the show Baby Instructions the other week. It was so exciting to talk about everyday play activities that you can do. So if you want to listen, you can go over to Bly's fab show at TogiNet, that's TOGINET.com/shows/shows/baby-and-toddler-instructions. Thanks, Blythe. I had a blast on your show. I just want to end with a quick story. The little one, who's 2.5 now, was busy getting into my middle one's things. The middle one had been busy playing with some ABC cards on a key ring I had bought from a teacher supply store called Lakeshore Learning. Oh, well, we have all sorts of games with them, and it just came out of my handbag as one of the activities that we have there for when we're out and about waiting something to do. I have a whole load of stuff. My handbag weighs a ton of all the things that I carry around. Anyway, it has this big ring. I don't know what you call it, but it has like a hinge and a clip so you can open and close it. Well, it's big enough to attach to your key ring if you wanted it, as the ring isn't huge. However, it's not as tricky as a real key ring. So guess what? Even a toddler can open it. So naturally, they don't just open it and be done. The little one was fascinated and opened and closed and opened and closed for a while before he realized he could take the letters out and throw them in the air. This is when I entered the scene, as you might guess. The little one wanted confetti, and the middle one was upset that his ABC keyring was, I quote, being destroyed, end quote. I could see both points of view. You know, if the little one was by himself, it was a learning experience. And if the middle one was by himself, it was a learning experience, albeit a different one. But together, it was like the clash of the titans. Well, this time I decided the little one did have to pick up as many of them as he could. And with help, he picked up most of them, and he gathered them up and gave them to his brother. And on our journey to a rock formation, the middle one was still clutching the cards and while we were in the car, and I set him the task of getting the ABC cards in order as quickly as he could, and we would time him. So here we are, small space, no place to put them down, in a car seat. He had to work really hard to get them in order without dropping them onto the floor of doom. Now, you know where the floor of doom is. All parents have that. Where their kids' feet are dangling, that place underneath, everything gets dropped down there. He did it. Adapting, changing, and finding time for play in everyday ways. This is what it's all about. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 58. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we learn, share, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.